The first inyan chayisara is the inyan of the kvur and chevron. Why was it that Avraham Avinu was so eager to have a bein chevron? So Rabbi Nebuchai says, "Vitoch lema oid b'shem kiras arbi chevron, he nikrois chevron al shem shekol akovushom nafshem mischaberes lemala b'yerlokim im dalid machno shchina." So he said, the musig of kvura in general is the concept of something going back to the shayish. It says in the pasuk, "Kimaf ata v'lofa tashuv," that since person comes from offer, he goes back to offer. The neshama goes up lemala to where it was, so it's a sort of going back again to its shayish. That's what the ultimate tikkun of misa is. There are different places in the world that have different skulas. In Ruchni souls like that, Beis HaMikdash is the Makom Beis HaMikdash. In Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael itself, you have all sorts of cities. Shechem is Mesugah for Paranyos. Yericho is the Shaar of Eretz Yisrael, and so on. Chevron is the Makom Chibur. It's a makom that there's a chibur from Elyonim Tachtonim, but in a certain sense, it's the opposite of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the chibur is the hashpah that comes down. The fact that hashpah v'leikus descends in this world. Malachalikim, Olam v'yardim, the Malachalikim in Yerushalayim come into this world to be mashpi on the world. In Chevron, the things return to the Makor and Shoresh. It's the most misugal for things to return appropriately to where they ought to. And that's what he says in Dalet Machnei Shechina, because the Nevroim of the Shechina fall in four different Machnos, just like the Golem were four Machnos around Machnei Shechina and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when the Shama comes back, it also finds its place, and that's why it's called Kiryas Arba. It's the place where the Neshama returns to being part of the divine Merkava. As opposed to this world where we're on our own and we're supposed to accomplish on our own, so on and so forth, there we go back to becoming Batel to the Shechina. Yes?
Rabbi, is this a Be'etzim thing, or is this if somebody's Zoche to it and they're buried in Chevron?
The latter. There are no automatic, if you buy yourself a cave in Chevron, and you're not Royu, then it's worthless. It's only, the Moshe words give is, you know, a Stradivarius is wonderful if you know how to play it. If you don't know how to play it, it's not, you're not going anywhere. The Chevron is a schooler for someone who has what it takes inside his premius. This is the right place for it. So there is that, that is the makom where things, it's the place that's most mesugah for it. There are other nekudas. Chevron has a special kesher with Yerushalayim. It says that when they, on Yom Kippur, when they wanted to know if the time came for the Avodah, they said, was it Heinitza Kvar beChevron? Lahaskir Ola Shachar beChevron Lahaskir that Chevron, you know, the Chus Avos. It's a makom chibur of Al Yerim Tachtonim, but the focus is more from here up. Okay, the next one is, this is the first time you have a parasha that deals with the inyan of Misa, the inyan of Hesped, and all the inyanim that are shayach to a mace. And one needs to, and this is a little bit of an understanding of what these inyanim accomplish. Vim Taimei says, "Mahagish is lemeis bekavet shayson." So this is a Teres HaMincha of Rabbi Yaakov Sakili. In Taimei, "Mahagish is lemeis bekavet shayson loy." What's the point of the mace when you make a hesped and you cry? It's like a rock. So he says, first of all, Ze einoy, Shomer Chazal kol mashayim pe'meis yoyid natsifistam agrelo. First of all, everything that the mace, that you say in the mace's presence, he knows until stimus hagolov. But tambazeh, if they hergel dveikus hanefesh beguf, ein achol leperd maguf kokach mehera. Ala hoyleches ubo mechoyfefes umrachefes ala guf bemokches regil lodur. Kesvuri shecholachso bakshoyse bamona itoy. And so it explains a very important insight. Let's see if I can give a good marshal for it. Let's say a child learns how to ride a bike, and learns how to ride it with training wheels. And then you slowly remove the training wheels. He's still not comfortable because he needs to come onto the training wheels. A child learns to read with nekudos. Then he learns to read without the nekudos. There's still a back and forth because he still doesn't have the confidence to pull away from this world and learn how to read without nekudos. The nefesh, the guf to the nefesh, it's not like a room where you come in and you come out. The nefesh has learned to perceive and understand things through the vehicle of the guf. It's a very, very difficult transition for her. Get away from it. So for a long time the nefesh still hovers around the guf, absorbs through the guf, and so on. We shall meet us called Lasa Yemin Nafsha Taisa Gufa. For 3 days the nefesh floats on the guf. Savadi Hadrabe. The nefesh thinks it's going to come back to it. Vasat Lasim, after 3 days, Mikivun Dihamya the Kaisan if Kasum Novel. It sees that the body's falling apart, shafkele vazle, it leaves it alone. So it means it's a process of coming to grips with the fact that you're no longer part of it. There's an extraordinary Rav Sadia Goyen in the Musa Deis, he speaks about Chibut Hakeva, the Einish Chibut Hakeva. So he says that physically we don't feel any tsar, obviously, but the sense of self for us is our guf, not our neshama. And as we see a person, Rachmana Tzlan, who's an amputee, it's not only the physical difficulty of getting around with less ivarim, it's just the sense of not. The sense of not having oneself, that our sense of existence is our ivarim. Imagine let's say we tell somebody, I could take your brain, your mind, put it in some sort of atomic capsule, and it'll float around and absorb everything in the world, but you will not be visible. It's just your mind. So at first glance we'd say wonderful, then we'd say no. For all practical purposes, that's a cessation of existence. For us, if we don't take our place in this world, if we don't interact, if we're not noticed, if we're not noted, then we don't exist. And it's a very traumatic thing for the nefesh. The nefesh still holds on, and then it looks at the guf and sees the guf disintegrating. It has to resolve itself that, no, I'm now a different surah. He says, "Halotira filivara adam kshehuga lasses dov bas mother beis amayshus yase, and misnoim afilosavish has mayse." Says you see that a person has various habits where he no longer needs to be conscious to keep doing it. So a tailor can keep sewing even and he shakes and goes through the motions even when he's not sewing because that's what he got used to. If a person got used to going to a certain place, he goes there even if you're supposed to go to another place. It says you're not supposed to bring to a Gemara that if you misfollow, you're supposed to mark Dalaramis and Mashtin, because it says for Dalaramis after tefillah, the lips are still moving. So he says anytime you have a hergel, anytime you have something that you got used to, it is, you continue with it even when it's not a conscious act. So he said the same thing, the nefesh, after it leaves the guf, it wants to come back to it. You know, it's trying to come back to it, because even though it doesn't make sense at this point, but its habit is the part of the guf, and only when it can't come back, that's when it strives to go back to its earlier home, which is Elyonim. So the person is saying an incredible inyan. It's not. We think of it as pasha. It's like choosing which hotel to go to. So this hotel, that hotel, the other hotel. So the nefesh dies, so now it goes up to Elyonim, and Elyonim is much better, and it's great. But the chibur of guf and nefesh is a very, very fundamental chibur, and the nefesh senses that the guf is its natural makom, and it's only when it can't go there anymore that it reluctantly begins to go up to Elyonim. The relationship of how much a person has been intertwined with Tachtonim is going to dictate how difficult it is for him to separate himself. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says there is something in the air, a sort of barrier that doesn't allow it to go up. And he says even though the neshama doesn't have a problem with a steel or concrete bunker, so how does that have a problem with this thin ethereal mechitza? He says because it's a ruchnistic thing, not a gashmis thing, and that thing, he says, it is torn apart by the sounds of the crying, etc. And this is where the nefesh goes up. And that's why you have hesped and kolz memes. But let's put into words that we can understand it. We said before that we're not talking about physical entities. We're talking about the sense of a person being shayach to his guf, to olam haguf, as his metzias. That's his metzias over here. So he says, when a Akadosh Baruch Hu gave it a certain, he created a certain barrier which keeps the nefesh in this world. Let's take it at a level of psychological. Even though all of us say emes v'yatsev, that this, the world to come is so much better, so much greater, and so much more fantastic, this world, these worlds a few years, blah, 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 but nobody willingly trades it in. In other words, there is a ruchnistic circle that keeps a person within this reality. So even though we believe and we say that the world to come is so much infinitely more better and more beautiful, but we don't actually want to go there. We're drawn to this world. A healthy person wants to keep living, and all our tefillos of big tzaddikim is le'amos ke'echya kipshuta, because you have this. This is what he's describing as a mechitza daka. And when a person hears the koilus of bechi and hesped, he dehears that his shaykhus to this world is over with. Those kolos of bechi and hesped means the understanding. It's like a person likes a place that he's at and he works and so forth. When they make a mesivas preda and he's retired, he recognizes no longer his place. He tells him time to move on. The musik of hesped and bechi is that this world proclaims the person, this is no longer the home for that person. Behine says, okay, and then he goes off onto a bit of a tangent that the kolos and the ginos of tefillah, ki cheinom, which is bala kabbalah mitis, ka kolos and the ginos mefan ane shemayim v'vishchokim asafir kashan. The kolos and the gina, they clear the shemayim from clouds to bring up the tefillahs, because there's something dak mafsik. And after David HaMelech would be mezamer menagim shoyse mahalav, so that it would go up lemala, and that's why it's Sukkah. That's what's called Smiris, Miloshen Kamachal, Sizmor, and so on. I want to explain this as well. And again, we would do well to take it out of the realm of something hooji-wooji mystical that just doesn't sit well in any tefisa of us, and to put it back into terms that do sit well with us. For a person to have something out of it, needs some tefisa in it. So let's explain that also. The musig of negina is an extraordinary musig. Seichel puts things into words and a description. So Seichel would say, "I am in this place. I have some emotional attachment to the other place, and emotionally, I wish I was in the other place." That's a seicheldik analysis. That seichel doesn't propel a person in any direction. It somehow, like we said before, by Misa, our sense of self and place is limited to the Metzias around us, and that's where we are. When a person puts a song to it, he sort of breaks through the here and now, and emotionally he's in a different place. That's what song accomplishes. It allows a person to go past the Metzias and to live a different Metzias. At Tefillah also, the musig that we stand lifnei Hashem and we're saying A or B or C or whatever it is, we all say, yes, it is emes. It is emes of Hashem. It is emes of this and that. But we still can't lift up. We can't lift ourselves above our physical metzias. Song breaks through that gravity, so to speak, that koach that sort of keeps us within the bubble and allows us to go out of that bubble. So it accomplishes in tefillah the same thing it accomplished in Hesed Mechi. So the musig of kolos, so this davadak means we have something that keeps us grounded, something that keeps us within our world, and doesn't let us go anywhere else. That's that koach dak, whatever you want to call it, davir dak. Things that are in the nature of koil, things that are extraordinary expressions of za'aka, koil, shir, and so on, takes you beyond this place. It sort of breaks through that barrier that's keeping you in, and that's where you're going to. So that's the way he explains. So Tazminich is explaining Hesped and Bechi, and he's explaining the Maila of all sorts of negina and so on in tefillah, and that's why he says that's why David HaMelech sometimes used tza'aka, sometimes tchina, and amira and so on. So he says that is the union of the hesped and tefillah. V'alkein Avraham shehikas boira b'hisk b'chacham kol sisra olam yoda ma'itals hesped b'meis. So he says very interesting. He adds, a hesped is, it's hard to put it, it's covered a mace, but it's hard to put it under any sense of a mitzvah's essay that you would say that he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says Avraham Avinu understood the Teichen of the Bria and understood this musig, and that's why he was Mechadish hesped and Bechi for in this world. Okay, next piece of Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says Vavom Zokin Bo Bayomim. The Bo Bayomim is a little, it's a little bit of a metaphor, and he is going to explain what the metaphor is. Kshom a lot of other kolay yom lechayisene kiyom azeh bier kamitzvah yishman te'elos ha'gufal nefesh. Latoyblon kol yomim zetolz nefshalom haba kehemim and ikro yomim. וזהו מה שקוסם בתוירו, וזורכו צריקים, אף בו ביומים, בלושן ידיעס, בלושן ידיע, כומסקרב, לא יסנה יום ארוך ונצחים. So, the Rabbi Mechaya says that bo ba'yomim, yomim is olam haba, because it says l'toyv lana kol ha'yomim, they tell us ha'nefesh olam haba, ki heim is called yomim, olam haba is called yomim, and that's why it says bo ba'yomim, it means he was getting close, he was approaching those yomim. He says kumiskarv loisna yomim haruchim ha'nitzchim. Oysen shehiske dovr aleem, mia isha chafetz chaim oiv yom liras toiv, yoisa yom yiska adam toiv atzofen. Let's talk a little about this. I guess let's ask an idiot question. A year is longer than a day, and olam haba is very, very long, so why is it called days? If I say somebody came to us for days at a time, it's less than I said he was here for years at a time, obviously. So why do I describe in terms of days olam haba rather than in terms of years? And he says that olam haba is called yomim. What's the pshat over here? So let's explain it a little bit. In the world of zmanim, we have different zmanim. We have yoim, we have chodesh, we have shana. A shavua is really kind of it's not an independent entity, but rather it is something in the world of yamim. So we have one unit called yom, one unit called a shana. Shana is much longer than yom, but when we measure things that are finite, we use shanim. Yemei shesena behem shivim shana b'migvur shmanim shana. A year, the measure of a year is, it goes, a year goes from beginning to end. A growing season starts in Chodesh Aviv and then finishes off in the winter. The shanim in themselves are there to give the upper limits of things. It is to tell me how long is too long. A yom is there to give each unit a clear hagadara. So, lemashal, the days were there to give a clear unit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's asiya. Whether it's one day was Yikov HaMayim, one day was, you know, Yishu Tesheretz, and so on. Each day is there to, just so that it becomes a meaningful unit on its own. It's not there to measure longevity. Shanim is there, the first time we have a mention, you know, we have the year that everyone lived, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, they're living too long, 120 years is the right amount. Shanim is always, the purpose of shanim is to place some sort of upper limit on something. A yoim is the rhythm of avodah that Kadosh Baruch Hu put into the bria is a yoim. In a yoim we need X accomplishments. So in the boker the shemesh goes up, the pole goes up lavodoso, adei orev. It's the rhythm of time, and be'etzem it's not at all a measure of things that are finite, because it's not measuring how many, it's giving me just a complete unit. Vayever vayteyem echod means a complete asiya fits into one day. So that's what it means. La'asid lovo, it's all yomim and not shanim. It's not a period of, it's not measured in terms of time, how long will it last, but we are able to eternally keep being nenim zev ashchina. So adrabe, it's an arichus yomim and not shanim. Shanim demands a set amount. That's what you're using shanim for. He's saying it's only 1 year, it's only 5 years, only 10 years. Days is to define the things within it, but there is no endlessness to the day. If I say it the other way around, a day is the elementary particle of time. That's the most elementary particle of time, and it defines a certain completeness, a certain shlemus in what you're doing. Whereas years are kind of endless. It's called a day, because it means it's a davar shalem b'fnei atzmoi, as opposed to a part of a day which doesn't have mitzias b'fnei atzmoi. Meaning, as far, let's expand it a drop, understand a little bit deeper. So we say olam haba is days, and we explain that years are things that they usually define ends, and they define the davar shalem. What does that mean? So let's explain it. If I were to tell you, I'm building a building here, it's going to be up in a month. So I say to myself, that's a schlocky building. If you can put it up in a month, it means it's prefab, trash. Okay. And so this is going to be a better building. If this is going to take a year to put up. Okay. I have a lot of money, and I'm really building this fantastic complex. It's going to take 5 years to put up. So that defines something extremely, extremely good. Let's say, and we say, oh, you know what? I wish I could have a house that takes 5 years to build. That's a sensible statement. Now comes along the Kavu Chaim and says, if 1 year is better than one month, and 5 years better than a year, imagine there would be an infinite amount. So I'm going to build a building that will take an infinite amount of time to build. That must be a very fantastic building. And so, no, it's not a fantastic building because you never get to live there. What's the point of it? Unless today the meaning is to move in even before the buildings are finished, that's just all crap. So then I guess you could move in and wait an infinite amount of years to get finished, which most people feel they do anyway, wait for a kablan. But at any rate, what's the teretz is olam haba carries in itself infinite amount, but if that would mean that the nyanim, the schar of olam haba, the tefis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hagas Abri and so on, were to take for infinite amount of time to reach, then the person never really has tov in that sense, because we have a part of something, but now we're dealing with the infinite. So if the part of the infinite would not be of any value, then what's the point of it? So we say it's yamim, yom shekol aruch. It comes in days. These are packets that are, each and every one of them has mitzvahs that I can understand, and then it becomes a maila. So the music is yamim because there are each and every inyan that I'm teifis, not Kadosh Baruch Hu, is an inyan that's of chshivas. So just like the muscle, I can read a book and I don't get to the, it doesn't mean anything because I don't have the whole book. I can read a book where each and every chapter has what to teach me, what to tell me, and then I can gain a lot out of it. So the Bob Ayom means he came close to Olam Haba. Olam Haba is measured in days rather than in years. We explained year is sort of the type of numbers that mark the kates of something, whereas the day doesn't mark the kates, it doesn't have any end to it. Midas Kisa, day gives a certain completeness, and therefore there's a tangible benefit from it. Let's take a look at another piece here. It says, Hashem is from Bakol. So Nezer says, Be'orech Yomim, Ve'oishah Ve'kovru Banim, Ve'zukol Chemnesadah. That's everything a person could possibly desire. Now, Nebuchadnezzar here gets a little bit testy with the Chazal. He said, V'drash Shebita Hoitza Shmo Bakol. The one who dies in the Adi Dornin Bakol, Sorg lahoisiv beiz mishares. It should have said babakol, you know, and it's a v'yaradoni bakol. It's obviously a shtech. You know, it's the Ramban, which we will not do today, goes off on town and really, really looks at it as it has it, and he explains it. But that's the Ebenezer. Ramban says, what is Hashem HaSolom Bakoil? V'hizke akos of the loyma, kosholom bakoil, leichos adov zulosi sheb bonim lebnoi, shinichul man ma'alosoi ukvoidoi, v'lachenis avalozeh. So in other words, this is just the beginning. The pasuk is saying that Avram had everything except for what's coming, and it's an introduction, you know, that he needed one more nekuda for shleimus. Okay, we'll hold it there.